Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we're your all-in-one HR analytics dashboard. That's right. Are you constantly pulling in those messy spreadsheets from all those different HR systems that you have? Well, no longer, because you can actually connect our dashboard to your HRIS, ATS, engagement system, performance management, Glassdoor, all the different systems to be able to pull in all that data into one real-time, streamlined, and beautiful HR analytics dashboard. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today I want you to help me welcome a special guest, and she is Christina Madison, President and CEO of Madison Advisors. And today we're going to talk about the connection between HR and corporate social responsibility. Christina, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Christina, welcome!
Woo! Thank you. Excited to be here.
Great. And we're excited as well. And not only because you're going to be an awesome guest, but because this is your very first podcast. And we love being the very first time you're on a podcast.
Already feeling welcome. So it'll be great.
There we go. So, Christina, this question might be a little different for you, but I'm going to ask it the same way that I ask it every time anyway, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So I've been in an executive within corporate social responsibility and philanthropy for the last 15 years. And one of the things that I realized is it's a strong connection between HR and corporate social responsibility, where we looked at the programs that we've had for some of the organizations that I've worked with prior to my Madison Advisors. And it was always a strong link between human resources, more specifically engagement and retention and corporate social responsibility. So for me, it was being that lead expert to say, look, in the industry now, when we're trying to be an employer of choice, especially for millennials, we have to focus on being socially positioning ourselves as a socially conscious brand, because they are looking to bring their whole selves to work, including what is the corporation that I'm working for? How does that make me feel? And how does it align with my values? So as much as I have been in the industry for corporate social responsibility, philanthropy, environmental, social, and governance, I have become much more present in human resources to help corporations better understand how to effectively engage their employees through dollars that they're already spending.
Awesome. And then before we get started, can you just give us a quick background of what you do at Madison Advisors?
Yes. So Madison Advisors works with corporations in helping to position themselves as sustainable organizations to be attractive to and engaging to employees, all of their stakeholders, from employees, investors, lenders, partners, consumers. And we make sure that we create a narrative for the organization, positioning them and often highlighting what they're already doing in the space of being a good corporate citizen. Most often we find that corporations need assistance in that area. They're doing a lot of things. They haven't really concentrated their efforts strategically. And we are that strategic partner to assess what they're doing, to really enhance that and leverage it to become a differentiator for the corporation, often with dollars that they're already spending. And we do that in two ways. We can be a strategic advisor to assess, design, and implement. And we also allow corporations to outsource that function to my firm, which is amazing because it allows them to focus on what they do best while they know that they have a strategic partner adding business value to their enterprise. On the individual side, we also work with high net worth individuals and family foundations to assist them in being strategic with their philanthropy. So we enjoy the blend of what we do. And, you know, in this space, we know what we're doing. We've seen both sides.
Thanks for that explanation. And so as we're talking about today, the connection between HR and corporate social responsibility, or as it's known as CSR, which allow me to not say that full long name every time.
Yes.
What exactly is CSR? It's a big buzz term that a lot of people are using. It's something that people are now hiring chief CSR, or they're hiring roles to manage this whole CSR department, or obviously companies like yourself to come in and manage this or outsource it. But exactly what is it?
So corporate social responsibility is an umbrella that encompasses a few things. One, in essence, is how a corporation serves as a community partner and a corporate citizen in the communities that they serve, or the communities that where they're present in the marketplace for business. That can include philanthropy, how do they invest in the communities? That could also include environmental components as to how do they really look at sustainability, and you know, what processes are in place internally to allow for that. That can include the social component, can include diversity. It's many different, and most importantly, or what you see in the industry, the top two you see are philanthropy, but also community engagement. A great example of that is Amazon this year. Amazon suffered a major setback when they tried to expand into the New York community, and it was apparent that they did not have a strong community engagement strategy and philanthropy strategy. What you would sum that up as corporate social responsibility, to really be positioned to successfully extend into that community. So you talk about growth. So all of those things are important when you talk about philanthropy, community engagement, sustainability, because now stakeholders internally and externally is no longer a nicety. It's a necessity for corporations to do business.
So you just led me into my next question, which is, why is this role so important now versus being very important, or there being a huge demand for this role 5, 10, 15 years ago? Or why is it not more important later based off of what's going on today? Why is there such a demand? Why are so many companies following this trend?
Well, you know, what were once non-financial and tangible factors with corporate performance, now this is tangible, where it's an expectation. I talk to clients all the time that said, wow, we were doing an RFP, or we were working with the government, and some of the qualification or the criteria that came back were areas within corporate social responsibility and environment sustainability, essentially, that we are not meeting the mark, and we don't know where to start. What you find is that firms like myself that are engaged with corporations come in for two reasons. When you tie it to HR, one, we're in a full employment market and it's very competitive right now. So corporations have to look at ways that they can differentiate themselves to attract and retain top talent. In addition to that, when you look at some of the studies out here, productivity is tied to engagement. And you have to find more, be more creative as to how you engage your workforce, because we see the numbers. People live at work essentially now, with whether it's the demand or just bringing them whole selves to work, and they feel as though they have to contribute in that fashion. And engagement has been tied to corporate social responsibility as well. Gallup did a study that said the U.S. loses over $550 billion in loss of production each year. And they also tied that to engagement and how essential that is, and then tied it directly back to CSR, as to that's a way where employees, when they're happy and they're proud and feel like their values are aligned to the corporation that they work for, that they give more. So that's important. On the other side of it is the growth. I mean, we saw that with Amazon, when we just talked about that. It is an expectation from the business environment now. I just met with a client last week, and they said, I don't want to be the dinosaur. I see the expectation shifting in this way, and we are not in a position that we are meeting the expectations of stakeholders. I come into the picture because prior to now, where CSR may have been something that was optional, now that corporations are understanding how important this is to do business, it was the part-time job of everyone in the organization, or, you know, it was a part-time job of HR and marketing. What happens when someone doesn't own that function in its entirety is, one, you lose consistency. The messaging is not as strong. The strategy is not put well together. So you're spending dollars, and it's an expense rather than an investment into the organization to differentiate itself from its competitors. So that's where we come in, to really help them to build a model to do it well.
I feel like we're on a podcast team together, because you always say something directly leading into my next question. And what I was about to ask you was, should HR be leading this effort? Do you typically see this role under HR? Does it sit next to HR as another strategic department in the company? So is there a head of HR, head of marketing, head of finance, head of sales, head of CSR? Or does this fall under something else? If you're a certain size, should HR roll this under HR? What does this look like?
I always recommend that an expert in this area provide guidance. So you see all different infrastructures internally, from companies that do not have any infrastructure and it sits within HR because the significance of their engagement of their employees, they see the direct correlation with CSR. And then in other organizations, you see it under marketing at times because they feel as though it's an external communication strategy. For me, especially where I see the industry moving to become more sophisticated and this being tied directly to the strategic imperatives of the corporations and how they do business, I do recommend that they have an expert, whether that's a company like myself that strategically advises them, or they have a full-time employee dedicated to this, because it's important enough, even when you talk about tracking, as to what dollars we spend, you know, how do we create key performance indicators tied to the dollars that we invest in corporate social responsibility, to how do we effectively engage our community? And if you're not creating those measurable outcomes and tracking it, you really can't ensure that you will progress forward in maximizing those dollars and those investments to be an advantage and a value add to the organization.
And we have listeners across multiple industries, different company sizes, and location. Should any of our listeners be thinking about this specifically from their lens? Meaning, if you are a company of 5 or 50 or even 100, are you too small to think about doing this? Or does it just look a different way? Is it more philanthropy than CSR if you're small, but then when you become an enterprise company, like a Comcast or a GE, now it's called CSR? Because it seems as though only really big companies have this role at this point. So if you can get some context around that, that would be great.
So I think at any level, a business or corporation should speak to or have look at this seriously as a contender for their viability for business. So it does look different in different organizations, from small to large. We typically talk about with prospective clients that we work with that we start where you are. So no, the model that works at Walmart and Amazon will not necessarily work for a small business. But when a small business is engaging with potential clients, the same question comes up. Or when they're going through the RFP process, the criteria is the criteria. And you often hear small businesses figure out, how can I contend with the large corporations that I'm competing against? And one of those differentiators are you a good corporate citizen? When we invest or we partner with you, what does that look like? How does it make the corporation look? And also, from a branding perspective, our partnership, does it add value beyond the dollars that we're going to spend in trusting that you will add a valuable service? So for any organization, it's a differentiator. And it's also an expectation. So if you don't have that infrastructure or look at it, have a narrative, some type of modeling behind it, you're already starting behind.
Got it. So one of the reasons why a lot of HR leaders love our podcast is because we try to make it as actionable as possible. And so it would be great if we can now break up this next section in regards to how to initially put together a CSR strategy, how to execute on this strategy, and then how and what to measure on the success of this strategy and whether it was worth implementing this in the first place. So let's start with, how do I start to put together a CSR strategy in the first place?
The first thing that I have started to recommend is, one, it needs to be alignment and buy-in. So you find that sometimes when, let's say the C-suite, may not understand the significance of corporate social responsibility. And you need to have those important conversations to understand what does it mean to my community, but more so, what does it mean to our enterprise and our organization? You know, what are those strategic imperatives that we're going to align to our corporate, align with our corporate social responsibility efforts so that there's buy-in? I always say the CFO looks at corporate social responsibility at times as an expense and, you know, just finds at times the necessary evil. That's not where you want to start. You want to look at the business model behind corporate social responsibility. For instance, employee engagement. And what are the goals that you have within employee engagement or recruitment and retention that your corporate social responsibility can help with? Growth. A great example of that was Amazon. I always say, let your philanthropy arrive before you do. That should have been 16 plus months out to say, you know what? We're expanding in this market. What is our position as far as being a great corporate citizen in this space? So you have to look at the strategic imperatives of the organization and then look at your corporate social responsibility to understand how you will position it so that it's a value add for the organization. When you can look at the business value proposition for CSR and you tie it to strategic imperatives in the organization, then you have your business value proposition to then get the buy-in across the enterprise to implement.
Who do you think is best suited to get the buy-in and start the ball rolling on getting a CSR person in-house or contracting with a company like yours? Is this the HR person, or is it better suited as marketing leading the effort? Does HR and marketing and another role need to work together to make this happen and make this business case? What does that look like?
I've seen different ways that that's introduced. I always recommend that I call it a C-suite sponsor. So someone with decision-making power, whether it's HR that has some significant advantages to say, we are struggling with recruiting. Or from a marketing standpoint, when you look at consumer loyalty and growth and how you're trying to position the organization, this is something that can be a value add. All corporations, I suggest, you do an assessment. You start there. That's the first thing we do with all of our clients because you need to know where you are before you understand where you're going. And part of that for us is we do a brand audit. And a brand audit helps you understand just, you may think the perception is this of your organization, but let us help you understand what the perception, which perception becomes reality externally in the business marketplace. So once you do the assessment, you can really understand where you're going, you understand the investment, and then you can identify just what those barriers are, what are the areas that can differentiate the organization, what are some of the benchmarks to drive the strategy for CSR, and how does that then create value for the organization through those strategic imperatives? So to really circle back to your question, it depends. It can be an HR leader. It can be a marketing leader. And then bringing that forth with a more global perspective to say, this is the business value add in HR. Business value add across our enterprise. And looking at what's happening in the industry. There are so many indexes. I mean, we look at over 600 global indexes when we look at corporations and assessing their performance within CSR. And many just don't understand exactly what that is. But many organizations are also rated and don't understand that. So to say you're a great corporate citizen or you're not, that information is out there. And people are seeking that more so than what the business marketplace or industry knows.
That's interesting about the brand audit. And so from HR's perspective, when you're doing this brand audit, is this all encompassing and also including the employer brand audit as well, or would that be something different?
No, it's comprehensive. We look at, for instance, typically when we look at engagements, we ask our clients to pick three respective areas that are priorities because you can boil the ocean with CSR and ESG essentially. But what are three areas within some of the most popular or I would say consistent ones are how do we position ourselves to attract top talent? And retain top talent. When you are able to be positioned as an employer of choice, attracting top talent can shift the entire strategy or performance of the organization because you are able to recruit. If you look in the industry and you ask, and we can all Google and all of the different publications that come out about HR and sustainability, one of the things when you see leaders move from one organization to another is they align their values with the organization. They believe in the mission. They think they're doing good work in the community. They think they're doing good work as a corporate citizen.
So now that we know how to put together a strategy and you've given us some context around how to execute on the strategy, now it would be great to really understand, how do I measure the success of a strategy? What metrics are we using to do this?
And before I go into that, one of the things that are important when, you know, when you're looking at a strategy to put in place, and I say a model, one, it needs to be integrated in the key components of the key areas of the organization. That may be marketing, and that may be HR. Those are two areas that I definitely recommend being integral in the model that's put forth together. The other part is to assess. And when we talked about the assessment that my firm, we do a brand audit, and that includes their stakeholders, one of the things that's very important is what we call accuracy of solution. When you look at how do you position yourself as a socially conscious brand, you need to be in tune to what are the issues that the communities that you're in are facing, so that when you are investing in solutions to add value to your to the communities that you serve, or even that are important to your consumers, you need to make sure that you're spot on. So you need to, that assessment needs to include understanding and getting the voice of your stakeholders. And there are many ways to do that, that I work with my clients, but that's very important, because then you invest all these dollars and you're not anywhere on the radar as to positioning yourselves to add value in that space. Once you move forward past that, the assessment, and that's all included in the assessment. An assessment is also, once you have that information, the buy-in within the organization. Because the one thing that you see in corporations is that CSR is a siloed approach. It exists somewhere where many don't know, and we do these things. The misstep in that is, one, your employees don't even know what you're doing. So you're doing all these great things and only the people around the board table understand. And often even your board members don't. So one of the things that we need to understand is, what is the narrative? How do you engage your stakeholders? And when you're deployment and you're integrating these respective areas within the corporation, that's built in properly. So when the rollout for the model, when you execute on it, that you get the most value for it. And you understand that. So you will hear employees say, oh, right, that it's just top down volunteer. They tell us, put the shirt on and that's where we go. So we want to make sure that that's not what they create. And we have some do's and don'ts and best practices of what we call that can be done all in that assessment and then the design phase. And that's important to say, what are we doing now? What can we do better? Employees can tell you what they want. Wow, I just would appreciate if I could contribute my talent. So you have volunteering that's tied to the talent of your employees, where they can contribute in that fashion. You also have employee giving, which is huge now, where they feel as though they can contribute philanthropically to organizations. And that's another connection with the employee and the organization, the corporation that they work for, where together jointly they are having impact in their community. I've seen that transform cultures, especially in the space where organizations are growing, where you find acquisitions or mergers. One of the things about engagement is when you utilize CSR and philanthropy, it takes a lot of those, I would say, those shields that they put up. You know, I am from X corporation and I don't want to really oblige or emerge into this new corporation. When you're talking about the greater good, it allows them to break down those silos and those barriers and work together collectively on something that they feel as though is bigger than themselves. And what you find out of that is that you're building a new culture with organizations that are moving forward, whether it's an acquisition, a merger, or the organization is growing, because we always know change is something that employees don't always do well with. But when we align, again, CSR, and people don't see this often, when I say people, our executives haven't yet always understood the power of the dollars that they're investing in their CSR strategy to say, this can be a key driver in the performance in these respective areas that we're looking for. So then when we get to design, we're designing it intentionally. We have the accuracy of solution. We have the buy-in. We have the feedback as to how to do this within our culture of the organization to move it forward. The other part of design is when you get to execution, the next step is sustainability. But design should also encompass sustainability, where you're looking at what are the KPIs that we're going to drive this? And when we're working with organizations, certainly we will create key KPIs specific to CSR. But where we start is, what are your goals and what are your strategic imperatives and your goals that you have currently? So in HR, it may be reduce retention by X. It may be, and you see that as a key driver. That's many corporations. How are you doing with retention? We're above the benchmark. We're below the benchmark. Your CSR can be tied specifically to that. Recruitment, it can be within that respective area. How can this add value? And for me, not even for me, the best practice that I would recommend is the closer your CSR model is tied to the strategic imperatives and goals set forth for the corporation, the more successful it will be. Because it's always a reminder of the value add. You always ensure the financial accountability of the dollars that you're spending so that that value proposition is always there. And it's not just, oh, a reactive strategy of this organization requested these amount of dollars from, oh, we do business with them. Most often when it's not tied strategically to the imperatives, corporations spend more dollars than they have to. With a reactive strategy, I have found so often we create philanthropic portfolios for our partners that we work with. And that is aligned with their footprint from a business standpoint. And what you will find is some markets they're saturated in where they don't need to give or their community engagement presence is strong. And then there are other areas that they are lean. And that's where they're having challenges with consumer loyalty or sales or even employee retention and engagement. And then growth, right? That's a new market for that corporation. How do we leverage it? So when we look at the philanthropic portfolio, we find that they're spending more in areas that they don't have to, and they can redirect those dollars. With the reactive strategy, what happens is they just answer according to what's given to them. And it's not strategically valuable to the organization and sometimes not even the community. And an example of that is I work with an organization, they were spending $2 million for CSR. And they didn't even realize that they spent that much. That's part of the assessment for us when we look at we inventory, what are you currently doing? And what happens is you find it all over the place as far as the financials. It's in this ledger, it's in that department, it's here, it's there. And then they finally say, wow, I'm spending millions of dollars. Or if you're looking at smaller corporations, I'm spending tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm not even looking at this or tracking it or aligning it with anything other than at that point in time, they thought it was a good decision. So now we pull that forth together and we say, okay, and with the corporation I was working with, they understood that they were doing soccer, they were doing basketball sponsorships, they were doing all of these community engagement components, and they realized, wow, how is this tied to how we want to position ourselves? And they didn't ask themselves that question either. How do we position ourselves as a good corporate citizen in our community? Because what happened is they weren't getting any value or even maximizing the value, I should say more accurately, because they were so dispersed. They didn't put their flag in the ground or really define themselves as a better way to say it as to this is who we are and this is how we partner with our community to invest in these respective important areas. If you don't have that narrative, if you don't look at that inventory, if you don't really do that deep dive assessment, if the corporation doesn't know, I guarantee you that their employees, nor their stakeholders, nor their consumers, clients, community know.
Wow. That was awesome. I'm sure there were a lot of gems that people are going to have to rewind and listen again to make sure that they got out of that. But now we're going to move to my favorite part of the podcast, which I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Christina, are you ready?
I think so.
All right. So the real question, very real question, which is, do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I haven't had bread pudding that I have liked since my grandmother passed away, unfortunately. So until I find my grandmother's bread pudding, no.
Got it. Well, I don't know if I can live up to grandmom's bread pudding. However, I am a bread pudding connoisseur.
All right.
And between a lot of the places that I've been to in Philly and the places that I've crowdsourced from asking this question on every episode, I think I might be able to help.
Okay, I've had banana pudding recently, and that was not my thing, but I will say they surprised me, and it was pretty good.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
So I know you're busy saving the world one CSR department at a time, but if you are watching Netflix, I would love to know, what are you currently watching?
Oh, what? You know what? Embarrassingly enough, I'm watching my kids' channel.
That's a real answer.
Yes. So
that's a very real
answer. I don't know. Netflix was on yesterday. It's the young boy that has superpowers. I can't even think of his name. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of things.
I know. But yeah, I'm watching my kids' channels on Netflix.
Okay. All right. And then the last question, the ridiculous one. Are there any ridiculous perceptions of CSR that you've heard that you want to clear up, or myths that you've heard of CSR that's just not true, and that's just not what CSR departments do?
Yes. So one myth is, we don't have to have infrastructure or intention. We can keep writing these checks and take a picture, and that's enough. Corporate social responsibility is not necessary for us to be successful and be a viable business in this environment. That is far from the truth.
Got it. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast, for dropping so many gems, and for educating and entertaining all of our listeners. Thank you. Woo!
My pleasure. Yeah. It was fun. This will go down in the books as my first.
It will. So how can people find you and your company online?
So our website is MadisonAdvisorsLLC.com. And Madison is spelled MATTISON. So that's T as in Tom. Advisors with an S. So MATTISON. AdvisorsLLC.com. There we have a contact where we get back to everyone in a very timely fashion. We can also be reached at info@MadisonAdvisorsLLC.com. Our office phone is 856-208-6895. And we would love to hear from everyone.
I think you're the first person that's actually ever listed a phone number. So that's new for us.
Yeah, that just shows how accessible we are.
Nice. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And for anyone who is listening to this podcast and has thoroughly enjoyed, not me, but everything that Christina had to say, then please leave us a 5-star rating, because it shows that you care and that we're actually doing a good job. Also, if this is the first episode that you've ever listened to because you're already a super fan of Christina, or when you saw this topic, you just know you had to listen, but now you're super hungry for more awesome HR podcasts, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast player you're listening to. And last but not least, all you people ops and HR leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.